The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
So, we are only the weekend after next away from the start of the Six Nations Rugby Championship. It'll be covered in Virgin Media, where Ron Nogara will be one of the analysts, and he joins us on the show now. Rog, are you confident that it actually is all going to go ahead, given the matches that were postponed in the European Cup, and given particularly the French worry about foreign travel?
Yeah, well, I think the one man who can make it happen is Bernard Laporte, and he's confident. I've been watching this space very carefully over the last number of weeks, and he's adamant that it's going ahead. So if Bernard Laporte says it's going ahead, I firmly believe it will go ahead. And I think there's maybe a little bit of a misunderstanding in the fact that why French teams didn't want to travel. French teams have, I suppose, the Bouclier de Brennus, which is a very prestigious competition. And they didn't want that to be affected in any way because they feel like they have COVID in their bubble under wraps to a certain extent over here. So the fact that they were to bring home a British variant back to France, that would have been very disturbing for everyone in the domestic competition. So I think over here, the Six Nations discussion going ahead, that's for sure.
Well, that's good to hear. But then, how are teams managing with the when you do get COVID? You've had an issue with it, haven't you, at La Rochelle, where you're coaching at present. What happened with you?
Well, it's probably over the Christmas period. One member of the academy, I think, became affected by it, and it spread throughout our team. But thankfully, it only kind of hit 10 professionals and probably around 15 of the academy players. So it's an instant shutdown, and you just got to isolate and stay away. But it's been strenuous, I suppose. We've been tested 3 times a week for 26 weeks now, so our nostrils are pretty feeling at this stage. But we're very much inside of our bubble, and there's a lot of education that goes with this too for young players, and for, I suppose, not so young players as well. So we're very aware of what you can and you can't do on a week of a game. So,
but when players get it, Rog, and they recover, how quick has the recovery been? When, you know, it affects different people in different ways. When you're a fit athlete, do you have a better opportunity to recover quickly, or are you seeing that players are perhaps having what they call long COVID, finding it hard to get themselves back to their previous level?
Yeah, so we've had a player who's had difficulty for 2 days, and then his first day back on the bike might be difficult. We've had other players who've had difficulty for 14 days and they wouldn't be near sitting on an exercise bike. So as you say, everyone is touched differently, and I think it's not related to how fit you are. Otherwise, this virus is deadly and it's striking in all shapes and sizes and different degrees. So with that, I don't really have research, but I can tell you from what we're experiencing in this club that it hits people in different ways, and the recovery period for everyone seems to be based on an individual basis. And the return to play, obviously, we were all well aware of the HIA return to play protocols, and with the COVID protocols, it is far, I suppose, the spread or the diversity in coming back is very varied as well.
I suppose the nightmare scenario would be that we get into one of the international camps while the games are ongoing, isn't it? During the Six Nations, we've already seen Eddie Jones is self-isolating in the English camp because one of his coaches has it. It would be a nightmare, wouldn't it, if it was to spread to players and you suddenly saw a team losing a significant number of important players in the run-up to a match.
Yeah, but then I suppose then you have to, in this day and age, it's merely within your own plan, you have to have plan A, B and C. It may give an opportunity for other players to press their claims to play, Matt. That's the other side of it, because you're going to have your kind of like your team, then you're going to have your shadow team, and then you basically have to have a shadow team for what potentially could happen. As we know with it, it's highly unlikely. You know what I mean? With, I suppose, the safety measures in place, that the whole team would be affected by one outbreak of it. There may be potential for certain players within the playing group to get it, but it would be, I suppose, a major breakdown if everyone was to be kind of crippled with the virus. That isn't what would happen in our camp anyway. And the higher up you go, I suppose, when you're especially dealing with an international team, you can read what Eddie Jones is saying, that people aren't allowed in and out of camp. This is it, and this is what the protocols will be. So it will be very, very strict.
Okay, well, let's look forward to the Six Nations. What would you think for Paul O'Connell, having taken over as forwards coach, the sort of pressure, the expectation that people outside of the Irish coaching setup may have, that he's going to suddenly bring around a miraculous improvement, particularly with things like the line-out? I mean, how quickly do you think is he going to have an influence and change things?
Yeah, well, he'll most definitely have an influence, that's for certain. I think anyone who's spent a bit of time with him is fascinated by, I suppose, on a lot of things, and the guy is a leader of men, and he's very smart and very intelligent. He'd be hugely valuable to the Irish team. How quickly will he be able to put his print on it? I'm not too sure. I'm not an expert in line-out players, and there's obviously a defence element to it in terms of what the opposition do, but you know, having spent the best part of 20 years with him, he's huge on detail and he's huge on preparation. There's no doubt that the players will be, I suppose, better armed under the tutelage of Paul O'Connell than they would be under any other person, I would think.
Well, that's encouraging to hear. There's another issue which strikes me as interesting. The number of players who are out of contract in Irish rugby at present is estimated at between 80 and 90. Now, apparently the contract talks have started again, having been stalled over Christmas. But you have seven about the international team at the end of their contract in the summer, and there's uncertainty as to the length of new contracts, to whether the pay will be as good, indeed if they'll get offers at all. Can you see that impacting on any of the players going into the Six Nations?
That's a good question. It depends, I suppose, what your outlook is. It's become a world game now, and there's opportunities. It also depends, I suppose, how much you want to play for your country, and that decides an awful lot, Matt, in terms of there's nothing bigger than playing for your country, nothing more important than playing for your country. Then, well, the question, when it becomes your job, it's who you're providing for and what opportunities and how much you can take, but are you willing to accept? So, I suppose the guys that are playing Test rugby, they're sought after, and if they didn't fancy a pay cut in Ireland, there would be opportunities for them around the world. It is really at that. It's, you know, I mean, there's that side to it, but there's also, you have to feel for the guys that are, you know, I mean, numbers 30 to 40 in the provincial setups, what will be their case as well. But for the guys that are competing at the highest level, they may not like, or the proposition that they receive from the Irish Rugby Football Union, or they may like it, but they will have, most definitely, if they're that good and they're in test squads, they'll have opportunities around the world. That's the nature of professional sport.
But is it the nature of 2021 professional sport, given that, you know, rugby is suffering a cash decline? I know that there's been money invested in it by venture capital and whatever, but is there not a danger for a lot of players that as the revenues from attendances shrink, the TV money isn't necessarily there, that the game of rugby is facing something of a crisis, that players are not going to be paid as well, and that the opportunities for lucrative contracts may not be there when they finish their international careers?
Yeah, but I think probably 9 months ago there would have been, more danger or a more negative environment. I think hopefully by worst case scenario by September, there may be a more, I suppose, positive outlook available for rugby CEOs and presidents and people on the financial side of the game. It's still a very attractive, I suppose, game played by an awful lot of people, and the television money is big. So there's more, definitely a tightening of the belt. I think squads, in terms of, instead of having 40, you might see squads cut to 33 players potentially. But in terms of the one thing that will always, I suppose, be really well, are always needed, is quality. You can't put a price on that, and there is finance in the game for quality, and people that are quality will always be paid well, Matt.
One other thing I want to ask you about. You know, a lot of, in recent years and last decade or so, a lot of people have started talking about the Six Nations as being an opportunity to blood new players with the next World Cup in mind. Now, given the World Cup draw that we actually have, a very tough group with South Africa and Scotland, which I'm sure we'd still be confident of getting out of, but knowing that the quarterfinal is going to be most likely against either New Zealand or France, is there an argument for saying, look, just keep putting the best team out, make the Six Nations the priority every year rather than building for the World Cup, and then, depending on what happens in those Six Nations, hopefully all will go well in that World Cup?
Well, I think that's exactly what happens at the minute, is it not?
It is, and you know, people say change it. But given the IRFU's finances and everything as well, does it not make sense just to say, instead of testing one or two young players, just put your best 23 out there every match and try and win the Six Nations as their priority rather than building for the World Cup?
No, but I think Ireland always do try and win the World Cup, or sorry, the Six Nations. That's obvious. And I think probably what the public may not be aware of sometimes is that, you know what I mean, the best players want to play with the best players, and usually there's, you know what I mean, we see 80 minutes on a Saturday, but during the week there's 4 months played by 80 minutes kind of training times where players got to get a shape up to each other. So when you're a competitor and you want to win medals, you need to have best players on the pitch. So whether they're 19-year-olds or whether they're 35-year-olds, they usually find a way to get onto the team. So in that regard, nothing has changed. I think what Ireland probably where they can make improvements or probably learnings from the previous World Cup is that the competition for places needs to be probably a little bit better. And I think that's probably happening as it is, which probably Munster putting a little bit of pressure on Leinster, and there'll be a good game in
Thomond
Park.
Yeah. But just on the final point on that, Rog, I mean, just take one position, your own position of out half, for example. There will be people who say that Johnny Sexton won't still be playing by the time the next World Cup comes around. So use games now to test out different out halves. No, it could be he might still be around. He could turn out to be the Tom Brady of international rugby. But would it not make more sense that when anyone at the moment doesn't look good enough to replace him, that you keep playing Johnny Sexton rather than saying replace him now with an eye to the World Cup?
Yeah, well, I think that is a key question. For me, Johnny is by far the best number 10 in the country at the minute. Will that be the case in 12 months' time? It depends on a number of factors. And we could be here a long time probably discussing what those factors are. But one of them is Joey Carberry's fitness. The other is, you know what I mean, can Johnny keep going to the form he has? It becomes harder and harder with the more miles on the clock and the older you get, especially, you know what I mean, at 36 years of age, which you'll be in the summer. So, but he's a competitor and he wants to play for Ireland, and you can't take that away from him. Someone has to stand up and take that position, and until that happens, there isn't an argument about it. About getting to the next World Cup, that seems a long time away, and as we know, especially as you push on, a week is a long time in rugby, so there will be opportunities for other people. But at the minute, you look at, in the case of Munster, there's Ben Healy and there's Jack Crowley and there's Joey Carberry and there's JJ Hanrahan, but these guys aren't knocking on the door of international rugby yet. So from that point of view, there's Harry Byrne, Ross Byrne and Leinster, yeah, they potentially are challengers to take over, but they've got to do it they've got to do that at club level, and that doesn't look near to happening yet to me.
All right, listen, we're out of time. We're going to have to leave it there. Look forward to watching your analysis on Virgin Media's coverage of the Six Nations, which starts next weekend. Ronan O'Gara, thanks very much for joining us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.